Thank you, Alex, for sharing God's word with us today. It's so good to have you involved with our online gathering. Well, today we're going to continue in our new series, Plan A, the Great Commission for Every Christian. And this is a series that has been developed and put together by Belinda Lakeland, who is the evangelism consultant at the Baptist Association. And ultimately, this is a series about us going deeper in our ability to live out our calling to make disciples, but also going deeper in our ability to share the good news of Jesus with everyone and anyone that we come into contact with. So last week, Belinda launched our series for us by sharing with us on the first principle, which is growing. And she shared with us that our first step in making disciples, our first step in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't so much about going as it is growing. First and foremost, we are to ensure that we are growing as disciples of Jesus if we are to be effective in our mission in making disciples in Jesus' name. For this is the good news, the gospel, amen. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is great news of great joy for all people, and we ought to be sharing it once again with anyone we can. Have a think about a time in your life where you were delivered good news of some kind. Maybe growing up it was that you received a award at school, or you passed a uni or college exam that you thought you were going to fail. Maybe it was passing your driver's license exam for the first time, or maybe it was getting a job promotion, falling pregnant for the very first time. My guess is that whenever we receive good news of some kind, our natural response and inclination is to go and share it with others. Should this good news of Jesus Christ dying for all of humanity and rising again from the grave, this incredible news, this amazing news, should it not be something that we are seeking to share with others in our lives as well? Again, we ought to be sharing this good news. It should be the ultimate driving motivation in our life. But it must be said, as Belinda shared with us last week, that there is a certain way in which that we ought to go about sharing our faith with others, particularly if we are going to be effective in our mission of making and multiplying disciples in Jesus' name. So this morning we're going to be diving into the second principle in our Plan A series, and today's principle is knowing. Because we need to know others and build relationship with others if we are to see fruit from our evangelistic activities. Ultimately, how we go about this and how we learn to go about this is by modeling the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For not only is Jesus the ultimate model for life, but how we again go about sharing our faith with others. And if we turn our sights to the scriptures, in particular the gospels, there's a number of stories that we can no doubt go to that reflects Jesus living this out. But the story I believe that so explicitly personifies and exemplifies this for us is the story of the woman at the well, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Because what we see in Jesus in this moment is he practices, first of all, intentionality. First and foremost, Jesus is intentional. Second of all, he crosses barriers. Thirdly, he is vulnerable. And fourthly, he looks ultimately for the one. Each of these are characteristics of someone who is seeking to make disciples in their lives, and ultimately making disciples by getting to know others. And what we see in this story is that this story is set at Jacob's well. And this is not just any old well. This is a significant well that was given to the region. It is said to have been given to the region by Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And the location of this well is found a two and a half hour drive north of Jerusalem in a small town called Shechem. And this site is found near the archaeological site of Tel Belateh, of which I had the privilege myself of visiting on my trip to Israel a few years back. And here on your screen now is a picture of the well. obviously not what it would look back look like back in Jesus' time, but you can get a bit of a picture in your minds of what this world actually looked like. And so we turn back to Jesus, and he's on this journey back from Jerusalem. The text tells us in verse 4 that he had to go through Samaria. Now, Jesus ultimately didn't have to go through Samaria in the sense that there were other routes, other paths that he could have taken to get back to where he was heading. And ultimately, Jews ultimately would avoid Samaria at all costs. So why did Jesus have to go to Samaria? Why did he have to go down this road? Because this is a divinely appointed moment, ultimately. A moment where he was going to ask a simple question of someone in order to turn social and theological constructs on their head. Jesus is intentionally seeking out this interaction with this woman. Jesus is being intentional. He's so tired from his journey, a journey that he would have done on foot in the scorching Middle Eastern heat, that he sits down beside this well to catch his breath and to have a drink. And while he is resting, this woman comes to Jesus. It's in the middle of the day. It's hot. She's alone. And if it was any of us, we would probably smile at her politely and continue in and acknowledge their presence and get back to resting, but not Jesus. Never one to miss an opportunity to impart the kingdom of God into someone's life, Jesus turns to this woman and he asks her a simple question. Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? Again, it's a simple question. But what we see in Jesus asking this question is that he is initiating relationship with this woman. Again, he is being intentional. But not only that, he's also modeling to us the way in which we ought to go about imparting and sharing the great news of the kingdom of God in people's lives as well. Because the key to knowing others and building relationship with them is once again intentionality. So how intentional are you and I when it comes to building relationships with others, particularly those who do not know Jesus? Well, in my own life, I've learnt the importance of needing to be intentional. And let me say from the outset, as an extrovert, this is something that I find quite easy to do, to engage with people. But for those who may be introverts amongst us, it can be difficult to master the skill of intentionality. But let me encourage you, those who are introverts, those who like to keep to themselves, there are plenty evangelists out there, people I know who do a great job of sharing their faith that are also introverts. It can be done. And so here are some examples from my own life and my wife's life, Kelly, that we have sought to implement in our lives in order to be intentional. The first of those is when I go for my coffee each morning. I particularly go to the same cafe most days, and so I make an effort to build relationship with the staff at the cafe. I'm always there talking with them, conversing with them, asking how they're going. And if you go to that particular cafe, those people will know my name. They know what I do for a living. They know I'm a pastor. They know my family. This is what it means to be intentional. Another example that Kelly and I have put in place is to be intentional with the parents of Malachi's friends, particularly the school friends. Our second son, Jacob, at preschool, even in their sporting teams, we are intentional in building relationships with the parents of our kids' families. Another one is getting to know your hairdresser, our hairdressers. Obviously, we spend a lot of time with them, particularly women. I mean, for myself, I'm in and out there 20 to 30 minutes, whereas women generally spend a long time, and not to be critical at all, but they spend a good amount of time with the hairdresser. This is an opportunity to be intentional and to be open to what the power of God or the Spirit of God may be wanting to do in your life, in and through those conversations you may have with your hairdresser. And finally, serving on a local preschool board or a school board, a sporting organization, or any board in particular, My wife Kelly does that, and that has opened doors for us to particularly build relationship with those within the preschool community that our kids went to. So these are just some of the ways that my wife and I, Kelly, have gone about being intentional and building relationships within our own local community, particularly with those who don't know Jesus. And this can be uncomfortable at times. But if we are to grow in this area, then it requires us getting out of our comfort zones, amen? And ultimately crossing barriers as Jesus did with this woman, which is the next characteristic that we see Jesus live out in this story. First of all, Jesus is intentional, and then he crossed barriers. Jesus crossed nearly every barrier that you could think of when he asked that question of the woman, "Will you give me a drink?" And the key reason why this was the case was because of the relationship that Jews and Samaritans shared with one another at the time. Now, if you lived back in those days, if you happened to walk past this conversation or this story taking place back when Jesus lived, seeing Jesus converse or talk with this woman may have surprised you. It may have even disgusted you, particularly if you were of Jewish descent, because this woman was from the region of Samaria, and the reality was Jews and Samaritans did not get along. In fact, they hated each other. It was like if your parents had been separated and the relationship didn't end well and neither of them wanted to talk to one another, that was what it was like. It was so heated between Jews and Samaritans, and Jews would sometimes avoid the area of Samaria altogether, even though it may have been the quickest route to go through, which is what is happening here in this story with Jesus. But again, this is Jesus being intentional. And he chooses to go through Samaria and this town, knowing that this interaction needed to take place. This interaction was divinely appointed. He needed to have this conversation in order to do what Jesus does best, to break down societal and theological barriers in order that the kingdom of God may be further revealed. And we get further insight into this reality in this woman's response when Jesus asks this question of her. She says, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then we see in this verse, the author John adds a little side note, for Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And there are a number of societal, again, and theological reasons for why this was the case. But not only would it surprise you or disgust you that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan person, but it would also disgust you that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, and a woman who herself had been left high and dry by her own community. How do we know this is the case? Because she comes to the well on her own in the middle of the day when most of the women of her time would have come together. And they would have come in the early morning to avoid the scorching heat in the middle of the day. But here she is, most likely frowned upon by her own community, and she herself in her own level of shame, remembering that this is an honor and shame society at the time. It's a society driven by an honor and shame system. She comes on her own in the middle of the day. And the reason for this, the text tells us, is because she ultimately keeps jumping from husband to husband. She has shared relationships with many men and most likely in this instance has committed adultery on more than one occasion. And here Jesus is, not only associating with this woman, but talking with her, conversing with her. And if we look at the response of Jesus' disciples when they eventually come into the picture and they see Jesus interacting with this woman, it would have created a fair lot of surprise, but also discomfort with his disciples. They would have been embarrassed by this situation. And the reality is, when it comes to sharing our faith with others, it will bring with it a fair lot of discomfort, particularly as we get used to doing it in the initial stages, at least to begin with. But we also, as Jesus did, need to cross barriers when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Ministering and discipling with other people will probably, and particularly ministering and discipling with others who we probably wouldn't normally associate with. For this is truly, if this is truly our purpose as a church, our purpose as a church, once again, is to lead all people to become purpose-filled disciples of Jesus. If this truly is our purpose, then it will take us getting out of our comfort zone and going to those who are ultimately different to us. For there will be times in our lives when we need to cross certain barriers if we are to build intentional relationships with somebody, particularly those who may be vulnerable or in need within our local community, which is what we are called to do. Amen. So who are the ones in our lives that you may be struggling to, or maybe you do not want to talk to? Is God maybe calling you and I to cross barriers to invest in these people's lives? Maybe it's a neighbor that we don't get along with, a colleague that people don't associate or want to associate at work because they may have committed adultery. Maybe it's a difficult family member. Whatever the case may be, the reality is we may be the only person in their lives who knows Jesus intimately. And so God may want to use us to speak and impart truth into their lives. But I found in my life the key is being open to what the Spirit of God may be seeking to do in and through you. Jesus cannot use people who are hard-hearted or closed off to other people in their lives. We need to be open and obedient to how God may want to use us in every situation of life. You know, there's been many times in my life that God has called me out of my comfort zone. And one story in particular that comes to mind was a time when I went for a run in my previous neighborhood that I lived in. And I took the route that I normally, or the route that and the path that I usually take. And I came to this park where I stopped to grab a drink. And it was starting to get dark on this particular evening. And I got my drink. I stood up to go for another run. And as I turned, I was startled by what I saw behind me. Because I had run past this bench, and I'd only just realized when I turned back around that there was a person, a man laying on this bench trying to fall asleep. Obviously homeless, obviously in need. It startled me, and I left him in peace. I continued to go on my run, and I thought about how hard it would be to be in a situation like that as I continued to run. This man was on my mind and on my heart. And as I thought about this man and his predicament, his situation, the Spirit of God spoke to me and prompted me to go back to this man. Sometimes we need to stop, don't we, to be able to see what is going on in our lives. Sometimes we need to stop and be open to what God may be or how God may be wanting to use us in our lives. Stop and be open amongst the busyness of our lives and the chaos of our relationships. But that's what it was. I was stopped. I was startled. I went back for my run. God prompted me to go back to this man. I initially ignored this prompting. As I continued to run, the prompting got stronger within me. The conviction to go back to me got stronger. So I headed back to this man. And I initially didn't know what to say. I just was open to whatever the Spirit was going to do in my life. And I said to this man, "Do you need any help? Is there anything that I can do for you?" He politely said no, but it opened the door for me to ask why he was in this situation. And that in itself opened the door for me to converse with this man and get to know him on a deeper level. He told me how his marriage had fallen apart and that had led to him becoming homeless. And this again opened the door for me to share my faith with him. I shared my faith with him. I said I'll be praying for him. And he said that he actually attended a church or previously attended a local church in the area. I encouraged him to go back to that church, reconnect with that church, ask them to support him, and said I'll be praying for him. And I went on my way. Now, I don't know how God would have used that situation. I don't know. Nothing happened there and then. And who knows how God had used that situation. But the reality was, and the point was, is that even though I was uncomfortable at that time, I managed to get past my discomfort and put this man's dignity above my own discomfort. Which brings us to our next point. What we see Jesus doing in asking for this drink is he's treating this woman with dignity and respect. Kenneth Bailey, a scholar who lived in the Middle East, he points out that when Jesus asked this question of this woman, or when he asked for help, he is ultimately blessing this woman. Because in that culture back then, it was only the strong who were able to help or give to others. And Jesus affirms the dignity of this woman he is speaking to, ultimately by lowering himself and lifting her up. Let me say that again. Jesus affirms the dignity of this woman he is speaking to by lowering himself and lifting her up. Which begs the question here today, how much of our evangelism looks like this? Where in our lives are we vulnerable enough to look to another person's strengths or allow them to bless us? Maybe it's in asking for help or being humble or being real about our needs. Ultimately, what we see Jesus do in this sense is, again, he is intentional. He crosses boundaries. And third of all, Jesus is vulnerable with this woman. And one of the strategies that I have found helpful in this regard in order to bring about a sense of vulnerability in the relationships that I share with others is just affirming the kingdom of God attributes or the kingdom attributes that I see in their lives. So for instance, a simple example is I may say to someone, I really appreciate how sacrificial you were in that moment. Or I really value the generosity that you're showing to that person. I say this particularly to those who do not know Jesus in order to ultimately reveal the attributes of the kingdom of God into their lives, but also to take the focus off me, to realize that I don't have it all together and place the focus onto them and what they are doing right to please God ultimately. And I found in these situations that it actually allows me to be more vulnerable with them and open the door to build a more meaningful relationship with them. But the reality is there is definitely a place in our evangelism to bless others and to be vulnerable with others, because in genuine relationships, ultimately people are vulnerable with others. Not only that, but it also builds trust. And this is what Jesus does. He's been on a 6-hour walk. It's now noon. He's thirsty. He's hot. He is in genuine need of help. And by making it known to this woman and being vulnerable to her, he opens the door for more or further conversation and relationship to take place. People come to place their faith in Jesus ultimately because they have a prior relationship with another Christian. Ultimately, they trust this person. Have a think about the people in your lives or the person in your life that may have led you to Christ or may have led you to place your faith in him. My guess again is that you had a prior relationship with this person. You trusted this person. So how is such trust built? Well, again, it's not about trying to convert a person there and then. Trust is built when we are vulnerable with other people. And this too takes time. Amen. So what does it look like for you and I to ask someone for a drink or to be vulnerable with someone? It could simply be asking your neighbours that you need help taking your bins out, or help or your neighbours collecting your bins. Maybe instead of heading off to the shops to pick up some flour or sugar that you realise you've run out of, maybe do it the old-fashioned way. Knock on your neighbour's door and just say, "Do you have any flour or sugar I could borrow?" If we're willing to build trust and be vulnerable with people, that is going to ensure that our witness is more effective. And ultimately, if we let them serve us, and we ask them, will they give us a drink? They're going to value that and appreciate that. And that is going to allow us to build a deeper, more meaningful relationship with those who we are seeking to serve and see the kingdom of God come into their lives in an incredible way. But it must be said again, this is such a hard thing to do. Probably the hardest thing about knowing others is being vulnerable with them. But it's something that we need to get better at. So Jesus is intentional with this woman. He crosses barriers with this woman. He's vulnerable with this woman. And finally, Jesus goes looking for the one. The one who might be open about hearing about the living water that only Jesus has to offer her. The one who is willing to listen and to respond. The one who ultimately would be willing to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. This woman was all of these things and more. Again, Jesus could have gone to the town with his disciples, but he knew that this moment was divinely appointed. And he stays at the well waiting for the one. In this principle of knowing others, our job is ultimately to associate and to bless and to build relationship with every single person that we may come across or God may put in our paths, to establish relationships with lots of different people. But we should always be looking to love and serve everyone, but ultimately look for the one. And this takes time. It won't happen overnight. It may even take years. Years of being intentional, years of being vulnerable, years of crossing barriers. As I seek to live this way of life out, I seek to impart these principles, employ these principles, but I too am looking and searching for the one. And it must be said, there will always be more than just one, if that makes sense. There'll be plenty of other people that are open to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. But that one for me in particular came when I was at Bible college in the way of a guy called Matt. And Matt came to our Bible college, Morling College, to sell coffees from his coffee van. And it was incredible how open he was about hearing about Jesus and the stories of Jesus that I and my mates would tell him about. And I even had the opportunity to sit down with Matt for over an hour and to share my faith with him and ultimately tell him about Jesus. Matt was so open and responsive to hearing the name of Jesus and to hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ ultimately. He didn't come to faith there and then. But as we looked at last week, and as Belinda said, our purpose in this is to plant seeds into people's lives. Now I know that I planted seeds in Matt's life along with my other friends who spoke to him about Jesus. And my prayer is that one day I would bump into him once again, and this time he will be a follower of Jesus, a brother in Christ. Because you see, Jesus isn't looking for us to be experts in this. His desire is that our hearts and lives are ultimately open to be used by him, open to not build his church, but to be used to build his church. Building his church is his prerogative, amen? That's his domain. It is he, Jesus, who said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, it's not our job to build the church, but be used by God to build his church. And we need to be open to be able to do that. First and foremost, God desires us, again, that we be faithful with what he has given us, to be open to whoever he places in our lives to disciple and be obedient ultimately in telling the great news, the incredible news of Jesus Christ in this world. So will you and I grow to be disciples of Jesus? And will you seek ultimately to know others by first and foremost being intentional with them, by crossing barriers with them, being vulnerable with them, and ultimately chasing after and pursuing, looking for the one? Let us pray that we can live this out in our lives. Amen. Well, Father God, as we reflect on this moment in time, as we reflect on the words that you have spoken through your word to us, the Holy Bible, the scriptures, we again realize that it's our calling and mandate to be used by you, to partner with you ultimately, to share the good news of Jesus in our lives. So Father God, as we reflect on our calling to first and foremost grow as disciples of you, but also grow to know others, to build relationship with them, and to live out these practices and skills that you yourself have exemplified and demonstrated to us. We again ask for the strength, the boldness and the courage to step out in faith in order to share our faith and our story of transformation with others. Father God, bless us as we continue to navigate this series, and bless us in our daily lives as we converse with those who do not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.